Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Pants Party. I'm Harrison Starr, joined this time by our, I would say, most learned NBA contributor, Sir Nicholas 33, on the Twitter and the blog. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you? I'm just researching NBA League Pass packages because I think that's the only way I'm going to see Keegan Murray next year outside of the two games that he'll play here in Denver.
That sounds about right. Yeah, so we're on right to talk about the NBA draft and Keegan Murray getting selected number 4th overall to the Sacramento Kings. And positivity only. That is how I want to enter this, because there's a lot of baggage with Sacramento, but I kind of look at it and the roster makes sense. Like, they made the least Kings-like pick that they could make, and they got the best college player available who fits into their roster seamlessly. And I guess, Nick, you know, what's your initial read on it?
Yeah, actually, I think their roster – okay, the Kings are always an organization that thinks they're, like, one move away from being in the playoffs. But getting Murray in there with Harrison Barnes, Davion Mitchell, they really like him. De'Aaron Fox had a good end of the season. And then they traded for Domantas Sabonis in the middle of last season. So they're short on depth. They're not, unfortunately for Kings fans, they're not one move away. But that's not a terrible starting five. They don't have an overall number one, but there's only, 8-10 top tier guys in the whole league anyway. And interestingly, I haven't had an opportunity to look at this stuff all week. I had a new person start on my staff on Tuesday, so my work week has been pretty hectic getting that person up to speed. What's going on with DeJounte Murray with the Spurs? Because I think there's not going to be a whole lot of movement in the West next year, but the Spurs were only 4 games ahead of them. And if they're talking about trading their best player for John Collins, that presents an opportunity for them to maybe get in that picture for a play-in spot.
Yeah, I've always leaned kind of like as a Spurs fan, especially when they had Tim Duncan. And since then, you know, life's changed and following the NBA has been tough. But I think you're kind of spot on that, like, maybe it isn't. Maybe they aren't that far away. Like, it's easy to convince ourselves that because they're the Kings, they're going to do dumb things. But if you look at Mike Brown, their new head coach's track record, right, like, what he was able to do in Cleveland, I feel like, goes incredibly unnoticed in terms of his skill set as a coach. He's been basically the number two at Golden State for the last couple of years. And as I understand it, I wish I could credit it, but in some of what I was reading beforehand, it might've been Hollinger or someone like this. The Golden State Warriors staff loved Murray when they were at the Big Ten tournament, and they had no chance of taking him. But I have to imagine some of those conversations trickled down into, you know, the coaching staff. And if he's able to bring over Golden State-style offense with really that defensive forward kind of mentality he had at Cleveland, they could elevate into the playoffs because, like you said, like, only being 4 games out and San Antonio maybe making kind of a weird move could signal them as a reset. So, like I said, positivity only. Like, I'm Kings fan now.
Yeah, it really sounds like San Antonio is maybe going to be a blow-it-up team, which, is Pop going to want to do that? It's kind of late in the game for him to bail out. it's the whole scene. The whole thing seems weird that he, that they would do this. I don't, where did that go south? I don't have literally read nothing about it other than just hearing it on podcasts the last couple of days that, oh, suddenly Murray's on the market for John Collins or some package, some three team maybe, but just seems like it's a weird situation there now. They were three games back of the Lakers, hilariously, the Lakers at 33-49. Just take a minute to laugh at their downfall. I assume that Russell Westbrook's going to opt in. I think his opt-in is like $43 million or something crazy.
Yeah, you don't not opt out of that.
Yeah, and on Mike Brown, I saw something that the Kings – so the last time they were in the playoffs was 05-06. And that was the last time that they were above league average in defense.
Okay.
They've only broken the top 20 since 05-06 twice. Otherwise, it's been like a bottom four or five defense in the whole league consistently. For 16 years, they've been a bottom five, bottom six defense in the whole league. Like, so that's a great – I think it's a good coach. They need some more depth. I think their best – I pulled up their basketball reference page. There's some guys on here that I'm not too terribly familiar with. They seem to like Rashawn Holmes a lot. Alex Len is still, I didn't know he was still in the NBA.
Wow.
Dante DiVincenzo, Trey Lyles, there's a couple okay guys there. So if there's enough movement in front of them, hey, they could do it. And it's a great day for the program too. Like the Iowa program.
Yes.
They've got a top five. I can't believe I'm alive to say that I saw an Iowa player get drafted fourth overall. It's just incredible. It's just an incredible accomplishment for Fran, for the Murray family, for Keegan. The Murray family will get to do this again in a year. So I mean, that part of it is just awesome. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that is. Like you said, I saw one tweet. It was Andrew Downs, and he said that he thinks this is as impressive as anything Kirk has done. My opinion is that it's more impressive. Like I think that the there are so many people and places that are vying to be lottery picks, let alone the fourth pick in the draft. Like it's an international game in a way that football isn't. It's football requires its own set of skills, right? But the skills involved in cultivating, because like I don't think Keegan did a lion's share of the work, but Fran saw something in him, built an offense around him, and showed that if you go to Iowa, be our best player, we can get you into the lottery. And it's just huge for the program, huge. And like you said, we'll be here again next year with Chris. I don't know if he's got quite the same upside as Keegan, but and he's going to be compared to him constantly next year. So I feel a little bad for Chris in that respect. Yeah. But it really is just tremendous. Like I'm thrilled for him. I was listening to Fran on the NBA at Sirius XM earlier this week, and he's like, Keegan was the best player coming out of college last year, and if you leave as the best player, you know, you can still be the best player a year from now, 2 years from now, et cetera. And in the roster that he's on, I think it'll be interesting because there's points to be had, like you said, like they're not very deep. Sabonis really isn't a scorer. He's 20 points a game. Fox right around 20 points as I recall, maybe Mitchell in the teens. So like he can be great. And I think one of the things that's exciting is Sabonis is a really good passer. Those guys are quick. So one of Murray's strengths as like a rim runner is going to be, you know, front and center. And while he doesn't have the wow athleticism, right?
Yeah.
He'll get those baskets.
Yeah. Yeah. Their roster. So Fox was at 23 points a game. Okay. They lost Halliburton at 14 and Hield at 14 in that trade for Sabonis. He was at 19 and Mitchell was at 11.5. I didn't realize De'Aaron Fox shot 30% from three. Yikes. Yikes. That's not great.
I have to think that that's part of the reason that Sacramento had to like Keegan Murray, right? Like his ability to stretch the floor, I think surprised a lot of folks, certainly me last year. Like I thought he'd be a little more of like a junkyard dog type of player, but to come out and shoot 40%.
Yeah.
And by the end of the season, they weren't just like those, you know, go out, get a shoestring, make sure you're behind the line. But he, in that Indiana game, 8 of 10, and those were NBA threes. Yeah. I think if you're Sacramento, it's very easy to talk yourself into Keegan Murray. He said in one pre-draft column that he wants to go a place and build it up. And I think Sacramento, the scuttlebutt was that he met with Fox and Sabonis, you know, kind of as their core. And since they're older, like Keegan's age, like that's always kind of a talking point. His age kind of fits into that team's core age and moving forward, not having to necessarily be on different developmental life cycles, like you kind of alluded to with San Antonio looking to trade DeJounte Murray. To me, I think that's almost like they're trying to get the French guy, right? Victor.
Yeah.
So I guess let the horse race begin for that. But
yeah, the obvious number one pick next year.
So I guess anything else you wanted to kind of hit on as we look at Keegan as the newest Sacramento King?
It's just it's an exciting it's not the team I wanted him to go to. I know
right.
I posted that back in April, I think, when he went pro. Okay, so the Kings have an interesting roster. I think it's a good head coach. It's definitely a step up from Luke Walton. And then I can't remember. They had an interim coach there for a little bit. I don't think it was Alvin Gentry, but.
Oh, it was Alvin. It was Alvin Gentry. Yeah.
Just the organization. I mean, there was a tweet that was going around the last 24, 48 hours that in the last, I guess it'd be about 10 years, they took Jimmer Fredette, one pick before Klay Thompson. They took Marvin Bagley, who's not on the team anymore, one pick ahead of Luka Doncic. And then they took last name was Robinson. Was he the Robinson that played at Kansas the year they lost? They took him a pick before Damian Lillard. So this isn't an organization that's well known for making good decisions. So that part is definitely scary if I skew a little toward a negativity there. And
right.
They were not on national television last year at all. They were one of four teams that was not on national TV. So if anyone's listening and you're looking to become a Kings fan, League Pass is $199 annually, $28.99 a month. So think about making that purchase. But it's interesting. It's just going to be an interesting roster for them. Hopefully the Lakers kind of remain in purgatory. If the Spurs fall apart, there's obvious movement there. Maybe Utah.
Right.
But that's a hell of a lot of ground to make up. I think Utah was, 50 and 32. So you'd have to meet somewhere in the middle there with Utah to maybe pass them. Who knows what the hell is going to happen with Phoenix? I mean, they're talking DeAndre Ayton. I don't know what the heck they're doing there. I mean, it's a pretty incredible contrast between the ownership for the Suns versus the ownership for, say, Golden State. Sarver shouldn't be the owner anymore of the Suns and is renowned for being cheap, whereas the Warriors are like, screw it. We don't give a shit about salary cap. Who cares? Like, if they re-sign Looney, I think it's Looney, Porter, and Gary Payton second. I mean, their salary bill plus the luxury tax is going to be like $400 million. Whereas you've got the Suns that are like, we're not going to pay DeAndre Ayton. He was the number one pick 4 years ago. It's incredible.
And he's played like a number one pick too. Right? Yeah, I mean, that's also the thing. Like you did what you wanted to do as a number one pick. How can you be like, oh, no, he's going to be too expensive now?
Yeah, I mean, he proved his worth like 2 months ago in the first round with New Orleans. I mean – Chris Paul was playing just awful basketball, and he's probably going to be like a 25-minute-a-night guy going forward. Like, you can't count on him to stay healthy. Devin Booker got hurt. And they needed somebody to step up, and he was getting buckets for them late in that series that kept them afloat. And they're just going to let him walk. I mean, it's just astounding. So there might be some movement with some of these teams that could get Sacramento into like a realistic playoff spot. I mean, I don't think Phoenix is going to come down from, they were 64-18. They're not going to backslide by like 20 games, but there's some potential teams they can pick off along the way here that they could get into a play-in spot. And for Sacramento, I mean, it's a huge accomplishment if they do that. I mean, they talk about this 16-year drought all the time, and making the play-in doesn't end that drought, but it gives them a shot to end it, and that's positive territory for them. Johnny Davis just got drafted here a minute ago by Washington. So
okay, have fun with someone who can't make three-pointers.
Exactly. I'm going to drink to that. Seeing him in the Taco Bell commercials, I saw the ESPN tweet that was getting promoted the last couple of days. It was the same like 7 or 8 highlights from no games in February or March, clearly.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's not much more that chaps my ass than that guy getting player of the year. He was getting a lot of love pre-draft as like one of these mid picks that could be like a real steal. I don't know. I'm dubious.
We'll see. I think it's just because he went to Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it would be a lot easier to stomach the Johnny Davis, I guess, narrative if he didn't go to Wisconsin. I think it'd be, I'd even survive it if it were Illinois.
Yep.
and certainly any of the other 12 teams, because, you know, you're used to, you know, Maryland or Michigan State, Michigan, them having great players.
I could stomach Minnesota. I could stomach Iowa State. I can stomach Illinois. I can't do it. I can't get my
head. It was all because of what he did, like, literally at Purdue in right. To your point, January. It might have even been December. Like, I mean,
that 37 team game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he and I do think there was Iowa fatigue. Like if we're being honest, I think they just wanted to be like, we can't give another, like, a Hawkeyes won it the last 2 years. We're not going to do it a third year.
That 37-14 game was January 3rd. January 3rd. It was their third Big Ten game of the year.
Incredible. I think that the other thing that, like, plays in Sacramento's favor, like, I think you talked pretty well about the teams above them in the Western Conference. Like, the teams below them are not challenging. Like, as I kind of get a read on, you know, the lay of the land, like, Portland's, you know, what are they going to do with Damian Lillard, right? Like, he's truly in no man's land. And then Oklahoma City and Houston, like, I think those are two teams that continue to be, like, they're ready to – if we could fast forward a year, those two teams would fast forward a year and just do the 2023 draft right now.
Yeah.
So, like, as a Sacramento team, like, you don't have to worry about getting caught from behind. So if you can just be better than you were last year, maybe some of those losses consolidate and you can get a little closer to 500. And that puts you there, right? I mean, I guess so.
I mean, I think the Clippers last year were 42-40. They finished eighth. Like, just get to 500 and you can be in a play-in spot, which for them is a huge accomplishment given just how dreadful they – I mean, they've been terrible the last 16 years. I mean, not even close to a playoff spot that I'm aware of. I think there was a year they got to like 39-43. And that's, I think, the closest they've gotten to 500 since 05-06. It's insane. That's literally the only negative, is that the Kings have just been dreadful for so freaking long.
It's the baggage of them. Because, like, I like the starting five. Like, to me, that's an NBA starting five. And you can find guys to fill around that. So I'm going to, like I said, positivity only. Like, I'm not going to – it's the most exciting moment in Iowa program history since probably Ronnie Lester's Final Four. And I mean that unironically.
I was going to say either 87, Elite Eight, or the Final Four. Like,
yeah, I mean, I rewatched that 87 game a couple years ago. Oh my God, that one. We talk about the heartbreak we faced. Truly, our fathers went through some heartbreak as Iowa fans in the 80s.
Yeah, I've never had the stones to pull it up and watch the whole thing. Like, I do enough, enough blows me and watching old results that you're just like, God damn it. How did they lose this game? I do that enough with football and, don't need to do that with,
don't need to do it with basketball. No.
Or the 1980 Final Four game where Lester and,
pushed from behind.
Yeah.
It was Louisville, I think.
It was Louisville. And they had a guy that he and Lester were basically going back and forth. I can't remember who it was. But those guys trading baskets and then he gets, pushed from behind and does his knee again. Sucks.
Yeah I know. His career. I know.
Torpedo.
But before Murray, Lester was the last top 10 player. If my memory serves me correctly. And then before that, it was Johnson in 70, Fred Brown in
71,
69, right? Or
yeah, Johnson was, I think, seventh overall in 70. And then Brown was sixth overall in 71. Brown had been the highest draft pick in the modern era.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And like you look at Iowa's draft history. Lester went 10th in 80. I don't think they had a first rounder there for about a decade. And then you get to BJ, Marble. They were first round in the same draft. And then they had – I don't think Gamble was a first rounder. Ed Horton wasn't. Then I think it's AC Earl and then Ricky Davis. So, I mean, you can kind of see why Iowa has been like this okay but not – like championship level program for our whole lives.
Exactly. It's like, cause like you think back to what was the craziest number one pick? It was probably Anthony Bennett, right? Even UNLV has like history. Like they've won national championships. I mean, Anthony Bennett certainly wasn't on those teams, but like, there's Duke tonight backed into, the number one draft pick, which I don't know. Like, do you want to kind of go through some of these teams and some of the picks you like or do not like?
Yeah, you know,
other than Johnny Davis to Washington,
I love that pick. there are rumors that Bradley Beal might not opt in to his player option next year. I don't know. Some of these player – I don't think the free agent class is all that great. So there's some of these player options that are the most intriguing parts, like with Kyrie. I got to be honest, I didn't watch a ton of college basketball this year outside of Iowa because Iowa was just – I was the most fun I've had watching an Iowa team in a long time, honestly.
Right.
They were a hell of a lot of fun to watch. And you know, with a young kid, it's hard to carve out the time to get that much in. But I really thought Jabari would be the first pick, and I thought Banchero, right?
Yeah, Carroll.
He would be the third pick. I have no idea what to make of Chet at all. It was alarming watching the tournament last year and seeing him just get total. Was it Memphis that beat them?
No, it was Arkansas that beat them.
That's right.
Pick Sui.
And Memphis, though, I mean, Memphis had some strong-ass dudes in the post, too, that,
right.
I mean, they were just, like, bulldozing him. And he – it's hard not to look at him and think this is just a more skilled version of Sean Bradley.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good pick for Oklahoma City. I do worry that he has some of that Sean Bradley in him. I went back and was looking at Sean Bradley's basketball reference page, and he was only with Philadelphia for, I think, two seasons and part of a third before he got traded. And he had the same criticisms that he was just this tall, lanky-ass guy, no meat on his bones at all, and people are going to bulldoze him. And that's pretty much what happened to him. I'm afraid with him, with Chet, these teams don't give players a lot of time to develop. If he's not doing something by year three, they'll freaking trade him.
Right.
And then they've got a ton of picks that they got to move anyway. They've got like 14 picks in the next like five drafts. It's literally like more picks than they have roster spots. So I'm just afraid for Chet that he's just going to get his ass kicked for like two or three years. And Oklahoma City is going to be like, sorry. But if they can, on the other hand, get him on a diet where he's, 10,000 calories a day and he's up to like 230 by the time, or 220, 225, then it could work. I mean, then he's a total unicorn player. He can knock down the three, good rim protector, smart. Like, he seems like a good player. I'm just, the physical part of it just really, really worries me.
I'm with you, because like, I was texting Ben and he said 7'195". And like, just to put that into context, that's taller than Patrick McCaffrey and weighing less than Patrick McCaffrey. And like, I have, I guess, maybe similar thoughts, because like the strength he does or does not have is going to be under a microscope all season. But like, I also think he was incredible in using leverage and using his length to make that a possibility. But there are 82 games to the season. And since we haven't, to your point, we haven't seen a player like him play the position of center, it's tough for me to see. But I also kind of think he was out of position a lot of last year, like with Drew Timmy, kind of having to play alongside Timmy. I'm not sure we got to see the best version of Chet Holmgren even at the college level. So certainly a developmental pick, but I don't know. Like, I mean, like you said, we haven't seen someone like him, so it's hard to be like, oh, well, maybe he's like Kristaps. But even Kristaps, I think, doesn't have the ball handling skill that Holmgren did.
I don't think so either. And I mean, Porzingis, I think, was just a totally different. He was a scorer before the knee injury with the Knicks. Was with the Knicks, right? I think it was with the Knicks when he got hurt. I hope it works out. Like, I think he's a good player, but 82 games, like, man, it's grueling. It's a long ass season. And it's one thing to watch NBA games on TV. I mean, I'm lucky enough that I live in a city that has an NBA team. You go to the games in person, and those dudes are fucking enormous. Those dudes are enormous, and they're quick. I went to a Nuggets-Raptors game back in – I think it was in March. And the Raptors were just so fucking fast. And Scotty Barnes was awesome, by the way. If you get a chance to go to some Raptors, like, Scotty Barnes – like, I don't know exactly what skills he has – but the dude was just like 1,000 miles an hour for 30 minutes. It was awesome to watch. Like, him, Siakam, like, that team was a lot of fun to watch. But people just underrate how good these players are. They're so good. The NBA games, going to an NBA game, like, I still can't believe that people are like, oh, college basketball is way better. I haven't watched the NBA in 25 years. And it's like, you've missed a lot. You've missed a lot. The league has gotten so good in the last like 10 years. They honestly need to expand the league. They need to be more
talented.
Seattle needs to have a team. Vegas needs to have a team. Like, the NBA right now is at an insane level. It's so good.
It really is. Like, when we lived in Dallas, we would go to maybe 4 to 6 games a year. And like you said, it was a little different, right? Because, like, well, maybe not, because you have Jokic, and we were – just gushing over Dirk, but you're exactly right. You see these guys just flying up and down the court.
There's so
the sheer size of them. Yeah. Like you do not get the size of players. And that was why the one time we had gone back to Iowa, I was so locked in to making sure we saw a game with Keegan Murray, because you could see that was an NBA player mm-hmm. on a college team, and they were playing like Western Michigan, so like just totally schooling the rest of the team. But there are 450 Keegan Murrays now, and I think what's going to be interesting is to see how he navigates that, where he isn't necessarily the best player on the court every night like he was throughout 95% of this past season. So I just come back to it. Like, I'm really excited. I've talked myself into Sacramento.
Yeah.
And I think from a pick standpoint, like when Sacramento doesn't do the wrong thing, if this was anyone else making this pick with their roster, people I think would be fine with it or happy with it. And I'm looking at Sports Illustrated up calling it a B+, which I think is probably fair. But if it weren't Sacramento, I don't think you have the baggage around them, and Iowa fans would be, there'd be zero negativity about the night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It's just all the baggage with the organization that people are going to focus on. That sucks. I mean, Sacramento's not, I mean, you can do worse than Sacramento. There are worse places in the country. My wife had conferences there for 3 or 4 years. So she was going to Sacramento once a summer. She's like, other than it's really hot, like it's not a bad town at all. Like it's kind of fun. So we'll see. But you're right. I mean, he's going to have 450 Keegan Murrays going at him every single night. And I think he's crafty enough to figure it out that first year and then, you know, maybe make a jump the second or third year. Do you know what his salary is going to be next year?
Ben asked. It is $8 million is the earmark. And I think it's 36 is what the – because how it works, right, is you get the two-year contract and then they re-up the third and the fourth. The total amount for that is $36 million, or at least that's the earmark. So a lot of groceries for Keegan Murray, because that's what he said he was – going to spend his first check on.
Who was the fourth pick? Was it Scotty Barnes last year was the fourth pick?
Yeah, as I recall.
Wow.
So that worked out well, right?
I seriously, I go back to that. I can't believe I just saw an Iowa player go in the top five of the NBA draft. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, it makes March thing a tiny little bit. And I kind of did do the same thing that Ben did, where he said after the NCAA tournament games, just like, I can't do spring football. I haven't followed the football team at all. Like, I had to take a break. I had to take a break.
Yep. A good old walk in the wilderness. I'm still on that with football. Like, even though I'm going through these profiles, it's like, man, football. Anyway, so like, I'm looking at the draft from last year, and you're correct. Scotty Barnes was the number one or the number four pick, 15 points a game, 7.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. Yeah, rookie of the year, led the league or the rookies in win shares with 6.6, all according to Basketball Reference. And like, I think everything except for the assists are probably they are a reach goal. But I think they are attainable if you're he's not going to get 17 points, I don't think, like Jalen Green or Kate Cunningham did. But if he's 15 points within the flow of an offense, you know, they do make a jump. Rookie of the year talk. Do we need to see the full slate of odds before we lay a dollar down? Or do you think that's a bridge too far?
I think for right value, maybe, but yeah, I got to see the odds on that first. I have to think that the overwhelming favorites would be one of those top three guys.
Right.
Barnes only shot 30% from three last year.
Yeah.
These numbers seem doable. These numbers don't seem crazy for Keegan to hit that. Maybe I'm being overly optimistic, but those numbers don't seem wild. I mean, what did Scotty Barnes do in college for his three-point shooting? His 1 year there, he was 27% from three. Like, he wasn't even that great a shooter. 50% from the floor, 27.5 from three, and 62% from the line. And he got the fourth overall pick. Yeah, okay.
To bring it back to kind of the point made at the top, right? Like, this is such a great thing for Iowa basketball because, like, how often do you see college and pro, like, just not really comprehend? And Barnes is a great example, right? Yeah. Because 10-point scorer, little young, right? But I don't know how this isn't. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's been a big recruiting day. I don't think anyone has Cook. Or it's Cook, right? That's how you pronounce it? Or is it Koch?
I always – when he played in the 90s, I thought it was Koch.
Okay.
That's how it was
Koch
pronounced. That's how it was always pronounced on the broadcast. J.R. Koch picked before Manu Ginobili. Never forget.
Wow.
He was like three or four picks before Ginobili in that draft.
Oh, is that one of those great, like, screenshots where it's like J.R. Koch, someone, Manu Ginobili?
Yeah.
Like, oh boy, how's that happen?
I guess it was the Knicks that drafted Koch. So there's your answer.
There it is. Any closing thoughts, my man?
No, this is just a good night for Iowa basketball. Awesome for Keegan. Awesome for that family. The recruiting dividends that this should reap some sort of recruiting win for Iowa. Probably not with the guys that committed today, Harding and Koch. It is nice, I think, as you said in the Slack, that Iowa basketball players of our youth like to have kids. That's great. Yeah. Keep going, guys. Just a great day for the program. Kind of excited to see what happens with the Kings, even with their kind of shady past of just goofing things up constantly. I'm excited. It's going to be awesome. And we get to do this again next year with Chris.
I know. Exactly. So as we always do, producing at the end of the show, we'll have to make sure we bring you on for a three-man weave, or if we need to do more podcasts. This is good to get awesome. Back on the horse after some more walks in the wilderness. And for Sir Nicholas, Harrison Starr, go Hawks. Go Keegan.